Well, here it comes.
Ooh.
Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings, and the Twilight Saga. Chinese readers are familiar with these Western fantasy novels, but now Chinese fantasy novels or xuan huan xiaoshuo, such as, oh, I just love these titles. Let me go through them: Ni Tian Xie Shen, Wo Yu Feng Tian, Wan Mei Shi Jie, and Meng Huang Ji has garnered substantial interest among foreign readers. That is so interesting. First of all, guys, please explain to me, what is a xuan huan xiaoshuo or a Chinese fantasy novel, as it is a bit of a new concept for a
Yeah,
lot of our listeners.
kind of. Xuanhuan literally means mysterious fantasy, so it's a broader genre of fictional stories which remix Chinese mythology with foreign elements and settings. It is a broader category that includes all Eastern-based fantasy worlds and xianxia. Well, we will talk about xianxia later. It is a subset of xuanhuan. So basically, it's like some guy having some magic power and have to go to some kind of magic school to learn it, and then being able to defeat others, and he's growing up and growing, being more powerful, and the story of his life is probably what most xuanhuan fantasy is about.
Yeah, and according to statistics from NovelUpdates.com, a website that translates popular Asian novels for Western readers, Chinese web novels have created a reading frenzy among foreign readers. Among the site's top 10 most popular web novels, five were written by Chinese authors. So at present, Wuxia World has 18 projects with dozens of translators working on them. Some of the big ones you just heard: Ni Tian, Xi Shen, Wo Yu Feng Tian, Wan Mei Shi Ji, and Meng Huang Ji. So these are some of the more popular titles. I try to say it in a manly voice. Yeah, I mean, looking at this, it sounds really exciting because, guys, I'm a huge fantasy freak. I love this kind of genre.
Yeah, and it's really interesting, I think, what the Western fantasy genre is as opposed to the Chinese fantasy genre. I think it's all like fantasy, but so very, very different. And now we see these websites that have done brilliant translation work and made this Chinese fantasy literature just popular outside of China and to English readers. And here we have, well, actually, Niu Hongli has done a little interview with a founder of Wuxia World, the website, which is one of the most popular of this area, Lai Jingping. And let's hear what he has to say about the popularity and readership of xuanhuan xiaoshuo in English.
Sure. So Wuxia World right now is the largest Chinese English translation website in the world. We have around 3.5 to 4 million page views every day and around 300 to 400,000 unique IP visitors. So we have a pretty good number of people from around the world who visit us. We have around 40% come from North America, so US and Canada. Around 20% come from Western Europe. And I was surprised to find out that around 25% come from Southeast Asia. That's because, in the Philippines, in Malaysia, in Indonesia, in these countries, you have a lot of ethnic Chinese people who are interested in Chinese culture, but they are not actually able to read or maybe even speak Chinese, but they do speak English. So they discover Wuxia World, and it's a conduit to a lot of, Chinese novels and Chinese culture that they normally would not be able to access. So we're actually incredibly popular in Southeast Asia right now.
That's really interesting, as I am just baffled with the fact that something so popular amongst maybe some slightly nerdy and well-read Chinese readers, that this genre is also popular in a completely different language setting and a cultural setting. So let's talk about this trend. Like, how is it attracting all these readers from different backgrounds and language backgrounds as well?
Well, apparently, the rise of Chinese fantasy novels abroad comes along with the background of the global fantasy literature trend, featuring the popularity of Western fantasy fictions and movies, such as you've mentioned The Lord of the Rings and also The Game of Thrones. But, well, apparently Chinese Xuanhuan novels stand out for their expensive and unique Eastern elements based on profound Chinese culture and history. And I feel like the mentality is kind of universal because when you read the story, of course, the Chinese element would be new and interesting. But when you get into the plot, the story itself, what's more interesting or more attractive to readers must be how the main character grow up and become powerful and maybe defeat everyone, I guess. But I can get, well, once you get into this genre, you started to like it because of the story itself, not merely because of the Chinese element.
That is really interesting. And Ryan, I will need your expertise in this because I know you love The Lord of the Rings, so Western fantasy books, and you've read a lot of those literature. And also, I know you're into gaming as well. And I think these two are kind of...
Yeah.
Have I said too much?
Just call me a nerd, okay?
No. You are... You're a cool nerd. Does that make you feel better?
Yes.
A cool nerd.
Cool nerd. Anyways, I would love to talk about this because it's definitely nothing I'm ashamed of. It's who I am, and I love this kind of genre of literature and gaming, and just it's a world. It is literally a universe. It is something that people can get lost in, and it is a way to shirk the daily kind of, the real world pressures that in a fantasy world, everything can come to life. You can go to a college for wizards. You're a wizard, Harry, and you know, like Harry Potter, or you can be involved in the crazy world of the Game of Thrones, where everybody's hooking up with everybody and trying to get power, and it's just a bloodbath sometimes. Or you can have the Lord of the Rings with the beautiful scenery and how it's described. It's amazing. So there is so much and such diversity just in the world of fantasy. But, you know, I think a lot of... Let's take The Lord of the Rings. The Lord of the Rings, like so many other, you could say The Hobbit, too, you know, written by the same guy. Or Aragorn, which is a book that was made into one movie, but really good, about a boy and his dragon, and I loved it. And World of Warcraft, they're based in, like, the Western kind of medieval... It has this base in, like, I understand as medieval times with knights and wizards, and all these things came from, you know, Merlin and Camelot, these kind of archetypes that have been around in Western culture, I think, for a long time. But, you know, you can kind of have too much of a good thing, for sure. But I think these Western fantasy readers are finding refreshing new thoughts and new ideas when they read, you know, fantasy that has a base in Chinese mythology and the realms and all these different things that have this kind of base in history but are being used to create these awesome stories that anyone can get lost in. And, you know, one thing we're seeing is that everybody likes this genre around the world. So to bring a new aspect into it, I think only revitalizes and adds so much more that people really enjoy that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to see the Western and the Eastern fantasy world meet together, that kind of thing. And like Niuhui mentioned earlier, with the fantasy world and even with Xuanhuan Xiaoshuo here in, you know, Chinese literature, there is a Chinese element, maybe a Chinese cultural background to some extent, but it's different from the wuxia novels. The wuxia novels is very much about the martial arts and heroism, a lot of that, and a lot of history, as some of the masters like Jin Yong has done so well in that genre. But with Xuanhuan novels, often there isn't much of a history in there, but you can see like Taoism and other kind of ancient Chinese thoughts embedded in there, so it's kind of easier to understand to some extent. And then I think that is also very beneficial for its popularity maybe around the world, but also I think it cannot become a phenomenon without the emergence of the internet. As prior the internet age, 玄幻小说 or 玄幻 novels have not really existed even in China. I think its popularity grew as more and more people started to read novels on the internet, and often it is those guys who are under the age of 30 and they're tech savvy, and they maybe want a little bit of escapism, and there's nothing wrong with that. And this group of people, regardless of which country you're from, kind of share similar preference and penchant towards an imaginary world. And I think that's really interesting.
I totally agree too. And you know, the internet has now allowed us to be able to, instead of like find a publisher for a story that maybe is interested in making just money, but not necessarily sharing some cool imagination or fantasy that you've created, the internet allows you to have so many platforms, so many websites that will, you know, publish your stuff for free, and even in these cases have someone translate things. And I think that's so cool because, you know, it's sharing is caring. And you know what? I see that this is so much of sharing ideas and imagination, and I'm all for it.
Yeah, I've been reading comments on the internet about this, let's say, news story, and people are a little curious about why 玄幻小说, this genre particularly, is getting so much attention. And I think that is strongly contributed by the translators, because they've done a great job, and they started to do this out of the love of this particular kind of fiction, and they've been managed to make it really well. And I have to say, because some Chinese readers are saying that these kind of novels are not that interesting after you pass your first or second one, and you started to feel like the plot is always the same, the story routine. Well, it has a routine, but I can understand that when foreign readers started to read this, this is all new to them, because we've been merged in this culture for so long. We kind of find it predictable about this, where the story will go. But for Western readers, it's unpredictable, and it's really fun. And also, because some of the writers are doing it for the money, and they're doing it for a really long time. It's like several years writing the same book. They just want the plot to go on and on. And I feel like during the process, they're getting better. So maybe at the first couple of chapters, it's really easy, and maybe the writing style is not there yet. But after they're getting into the story and have been practicing writing for a really long time, they are getting better. And when the translator started to translate these novels, they can kind of cure that problem, the writing style kind of problem. The translators can make it easier to understand and make the writing even more beautiful. And that will attract more readers.
Yeah, you know, that's definitely, I would have to agree that, you know, fantasy, I think fantasy sometimes is limited to by your culture to an extent of, you said, you know, maybe this kind of story is something that maybe many Chinese people are familiar with because it's like so rooted in Chinese culture and this stuff. I would say vice versa with, you know, this kind of fantasy like Lord of the Rings and whatnot that has been so present in Western culture. I mean, everybody knows what a wizard is and all this stuff. But and so many different, like Lord of the Rings and even Harry Potter all have wizards and these kind of things. So it's nothing new. But I think what's really exciting about this is that people are reading the other culture's fantasy and finding out how different it can be. And what really also could be interesting in the future is maybe a mix of the two, a mix of maybe some kind of aspects of, you know, Western fantasy mixed with the Eastern fantasy that I'm sure is happening via these platforms that maybe would never happen otherwise. And that's really exciting because for anyone that loves fantasy, this means maybe a whole new genre.
Oh, that's such a great thought. Ooh, I can totally imagine. Okay, see if you like this thought. A
Are you
monk?
going to pitch a book to us right now?
A monk? Maybe he's got, I don't know, 100% mana. Am I using that term correctly, Ryan? Mana?
Oh, boy. I definitely think you're using it correctly, yes. mana, yeah.
So that
mana.
Is basically the ability of the character using magical powers.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I know nothing about this, but I have the best consultant that is Ryan Price.
Yeah, mana, you can imagine, is just like the energy that in many of these fictional stories just fantasy stories that allow people to use magic.
Great. Yes. So you've got a monk versus maybe a wizard, and I don't know how well that will... Oh, I'm
Weird.
Seeing shaking heads. Okay, so maybe not the best idea. Let me know what you think about this, our dear listeners. And also, I think what's quite interesting here is that you see there's the Chinese element, but also you see the non-Chinese universal element that is... parts about the video games. I think there is an influence of the gaming world
Absolutely.
In this kind of Chinese fantasy novels as well. It's all not always, but just I've read the ones that are super popular. Wo Yu Feng Tian, that is, I want to seal heaven, and also Ni Tian Xie Shen, against all gods. Basically, it's always a late, okay, I didn't say that word, an underdog that knows nothing, is an average guy, and for some reason, he's just filled with power and magical powers later on, and it's just like he conquers one obstacle against another, and there's always a new girl that is so beautiful, sexy, and always is googling at him. I don't get that part, but this is for guys, I guess. So yes, and then gradually he conquers the world, that kind of thing, and I just think that sounds very similar to a lot of video games. I could be wrong, though, Ryan.
No, I mean, absolutely. In fact, I feel like I sound like such a nerd right now. But, you know, there's a company that makes a lot of really great video games called Blizzard. And, you know, they made World of Warcraft. They, in fact, made the whole Warcraft universe, which is cool. But they've actually, I feel, are trying to take maybe the Eastern and the Western and combine them into their games of fantasy, because there's this one game, it's called Diablo. Diablo is Spanish for devil, okay? And the series is about basically heroes fighting the devil who is trying to control Earth, basically make hell on Earth, right? So in the first couple games, because it's like three games, it's Western type heroes, you know, like a warrior with a knight and a shield, a paladin, a knight, maybe a wizard, these kind of very rooted in that. But now with their newest game, you have like a monk, you know, very much knowledgeable of martial arts and these kind of things. And it's really exciting. I think it's cool. And obviously, guys, according to a report released by China Internet Network Information Center in January, the user scale of internet literature was 297 million in China in 2015, accounting for 43.1% of all users, representing a year-on-year growth of 2.89 million. So this industry is growing, and I think it's showing so many outlets, not just these video game outlets like Blizzard, but maybe even TV industries, that people want to share. People want to talk about fantasy, and this is becoming a big deal.
And also we're seeing how that this part of Chinese culture that without much help maybe of higher up
promotion
or entities that have a vested interest in the area, but it has become a cultural export to some extent. And here we've got Lai Jinping, again, founder of the website Wuxia World, to talk about the cultural aspect of Xuanhuan Xiaoshuo, or Chinese fantasy novels.
If we look at Japan, there's been a 20 to 30 year sustained effort to promote and push Japanese culture in the United States. And the government has worked very well with companies to do that, from everything from, you know, Sailor Moon to Dragon Ball Z, you know, to anime, to the Pokemon. So there's been a sustained effort on Japan's side to promote popular Japanese culture in the United States, and there hasn't been the same in China. So what we're doing is actually, to a certain extent, this first wave of bringing popular Chinese culture to the United States. Now, I believe that good things are universal. If it's good in Chinese, you can probably find a way to make it good in English. So as long as we keep uncovering and bringing over more good Chinese content, my goal is, and I think we shall see, more and more of this, you know, the fun Chinese stuff being brought over to the United States and hopefully being commended for it. I think, you know, the three-body problem that was recently won the Hugo Award in the United States a year or two ago. It's a classic example that there is good Chinese literature, and people like good literature no matter where it's from. What we need to do is to discover it, uncover it, translate it, and then make it there for people to read. You can have the best novel in the world, and that's no good if it's not in a language that's accessible to the rest of the world.
That is so interesting to see how a cultural product is appreciated in a different culture, and it's done in such a bottom-up way that it's voluntary and it's cool.
Yeah, and I think it's perfectly reasonable because it's always the popular kind of light fiction at that time that is being appreciated by people all around the world that will stay there and growing and someday become a classic for future generation, and I'm totally for it.
Yeah, I think an Indonesian university student, Johanna, who said that the reason why she really feels so strongly about this and where it's going is because there is no limit to your imagination. And this is just amazing. I think by sharing, we really make that saying come alive by sharing everything, our culture, our history, to create something that's so fascinating and can engage anyone.
Yes, and I also think this is happening on a backdrop that there is more interest in China and Chinese culture. What do people think? And then you see that Chinese sci-fi novels are gaining international attention as well, and even children's book to some extent recently, and of course, Chinese fantasy novels. So interesting to see how this whole literary world unravel in this aspect. You're listening to Roundtable with myself, He Yang, Ryan Price, and Niu Honglin.